5. And I want to preach this thought to you, the unexpected hero. The unexpected hero. We're looking here at these verses, reading in the New King James Version. Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out two denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come, I will repay you.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you once again for your word. And God, I need you desperately this morning. I pray, God, that you'll speak through me. Set me aside, God, and use me for your glory. Not for me, God, but for you, Lord. Speak to this wonderful congregation, God. Bless them and encourage them, I pray. Have your way in our hearts and our lives, God. The glory belongs to you and the honor, and we would never try to take it from you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The unexpected hero. We have a lot of heroes in our day. Matter of fact, our movie theaters are filled with Marvel comic books of heroes. The Superman, the Spider-Man, the whatever kind of man we can come up with. Even the Woman, the Wonder Woman. We got all kinds of heroes today. But there's none greater than the one who cares for your need, who sees you and sees the hurting and cares for you. I read this story and the Holy Spirit began dealing with my heart about this scripture. And one of the things I thought that caught my attention was the fact that it was a normal day. He was just traveling down to Jericho. He wasn't going anywhere special. He was leaving Jerusalem, going to Jericho. Everything was normal. He was just doing his normal day business. Everything was fine. There was no problem. There was no hurt in him. Everything was, he was healthy. He had the strength to walk by himself and travel by himself. He didn't need help from anybody else at the time. But the Bible said, Jesus said, but on his way there, something unexpected happened to him. On the path of life, isn't that how it works? When we're on the path of life, things are going just good, and then something unexpected takes place. When everything seems fine, then all of the enemy's attacks come in at one time, and you thought it was okay, everything was good, and the winds came, and the waves came, and the storms came, and then that moment of that attack in your life, I read this. I know it's a parable of the Good Samaritan, but Jesus used a very common thing in his day because you didn't travel alone in those days. You traveled with an entourage of people because if you fell among the thieves, they often just killed you. They didn't leave you half dead. They killed you and took all your stuff. And so you traveled with a group of people as a way of protection because in our day and time, a thief usually comes in one or two, but in that day, there were a band of thieves that would come and attack full carriages and of people traveling from one place to another. And Jesus knew that this was a common occurrence, and so he used this example to talk about what it's like when you're out there all alone and you didn't pay attention to what could have come. You know, I think it's very important for you to understand that we need one another. I need you and you need me. The church is crucial in that fact. We travel together, church. We go together. We go together because the enemy is more afraid of the two of us than he is one of us. Because one of us sends 1,000 and two of us is 10,000s to fly. Because we're greater together than we are apart. That's why we stay together. And I think about this man being all alone out there. I think about that one, that person who today will say, I don't want to go to church because I don't think that going to church is going to make me any better. I don't think the people at church love me or care about me. I think about that person who's all alone out there who's going to one day come across the thief. And the thief's going to steal, kill, and destroy and do his work in that person's life because they're all alone. One of the things I'm so thankful for is that when I'm falling apart, I've got somebody I can cry to. I've got somebody I can say, I need you to help me pray. I got somebody to say, I can't make it on my own. Will you please help me? And they come by and help me. Here this man all alone and unexpectedly without even realizing what happens, the thieves came out. Can you put that first verse back up there, verse 30, please? Look at this. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. And look what they did to him. They stripped him of his clothing. They took away his dignity. They took away everything that covered him, and they brought great shame upon this man. They took away his clothing. Then they wounded him and attacked him. They didn't just strip him and take his dignity away. But after they took his dignity, they took his pride too. And they beat him to a place where he couldn't even function. The Bible, Jesus said, leaving him in a place of being half dead. Just at the point of the brink of being dead in his own life. All of this because he fell among the thieves. My dear friends, we have to be careful that we don't fall among the thieves. We need to be careful that we watch the path in which we walk, and that when we walk that path, we don't walk that path alone. We walk it with Christ, and we walk it with brothers and sisters who believe and love God with us. We walk the path together. We have to learn that you and I are a team in this, that Christ has brought us together for that purpose, that we would not be alone. But then something that baffles me is Jesus uses in his day the most religious people of his day. He says of these religious people, he said, by chance a priest comes by. A priest. By chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, look at this, he saw the position and the situation. He recognized there's a broken, a hurting, and a man being shamed over there. He saw it. He glanced and recognized it, but he didn't do anything. He got on the other side as to ignore it. And I think about times in the church of how people have saw the needs of people in the church and they've ignored them. Saw the hurting. Listen, we talk about wanting revival. We talk about wanting more of God. But when God sends in the broken, we can't shun them. When God sends in the drug addict that's broken down, we can't shun them. When God sends in the hurting that's been hurt, we can't shun them. We can't turn and go, well, that's too much for me. You know, I'm just going to go about the other side. And I don't want them to catch me because they're going to tell me the whole sob story of what's been going on. So I'm going to pass by on the other side. We have to have a compassion that goes beyond than just a religious form. And we can become a religious form, church. We can be religious but not have the compassion that Christ has. We can become religious and not follow after Christ like we're supposed to. And here the priest, this is the man who goes into the holies of holies. This is the cream of the crop, my dear friend. This is the religious top here. This guy, he's the top of his career. This, you don't get any higher than this in the career of religion in Jesus' day. The priest is the guy who's allowed to go into the holies of holies once a year and bring the blood in. This guy has a prominent place, but his prominent place is he's missing the point of why God put him there. He's missing the point. Then Jesus uses even a Levite. He uses a Levite when he arrives at the place. He came and looked. Look at that. He looked at him. He looked at him and he passed by on the other side. He ignored it. Here's a man that not only, we got a priest who goes in to the holies of holies. Then we got the Levite who handles all the church business. who takes care of the Ark of the Covenant, who takes care of the tabernacle and breaks it down, who carries all the instruments of God, who has no normal living place on the earth. They don't have an inheritance on the earth. Their inheritance, according to the scripture, is the Lord God. This is somebody who's supposed to have the prominence and the position of love and compassion from God, but on what they do is they don't even show or express it. They push it away. They push the situation away. But then Jesus does something even crazier. He uses the people who should care, and then he uses the person that should care less. And that's the Samaritan. The Samaritan cares less. And let me tell you why. There was a war in the Old Testament. And in that war, the Assyrian army took out the 10 northern tribes of the children of Israel, leaving only 2 tribes in the southern part of Israel. And what they did is they took the women and they intermarried, and they intermarried and they had children, and they created a half-breed Jew called the Samaritans. And if you read the Gospels and you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will see how people treated the Samaritans. They were classified dogs to the children of Israel because they were half-bred Jews. Matter of fact, in one occasion, the disciples got so upset at the Samaritans that they said, "Jesus, call down fire from heaven right now and consume these people." Because they would have never said that about Jerusalem, but they definitely said it about the Samaritans, because they're just dogs. They're just dogs. Now, with that in mind, I want you to think of this. In John chapter 4 or 2, one of the two, it's 4 or 2, go read it. It says, Jesus said, "I must needs go through Samaria." And there he found a woman at the well, and guess what nationality she was? She was a Samaritan. Jesus went to the Samaritans, the broken, the outcast, the ones that shouldn't care, the ones that been ostracized by everybody else, that one. And here's something fascinating. Jesus said, but a Samaritan passed by. The one that should care less, that one came. And he saw it. He saw the need. He saw the brokenness. He saw the wounds. He saw the half-dead situation. And he did what nobody else would do. You see, it's not about your status. It's not about what the world thinks of you, or what people think of you, or what your neighbor thinks of you, or what your employer thinks of you, or what the church thinks of you. If you are the good Samaritan, you've done a good thing. If you're willing to see and recognize the needs in people's lives and do what's necessary to meet those needs, then you're the real neighbor to the one you see. Because it's not about anything else. Listen, it goes back to our actions, brothers and sisters. It goes back to who we are in Christ. Do we recognize that there are people who need us to show them the way? Now, I want to point something out, because as I was just reminiscing on this verse, as I was dealing with this verse, I came to this conclusion. The Good Samaritan is my Jesus. He's my Jesus. He's the hero nobody expected. Everybody saw Jesus. The religious people saw Jesus and they didn't care. The Levites saw Jesus and they didn't pay attention. Peter said that they so pushed him out, then they crucified him. And Peter said that they rejected the head cornerstone, but God has exalted him and made him the centerpiece of the cornerstone. He has exalted him, given him a name that is above every name. Even when the Hebrews and the Jews would not give him a name, God gave him a name. And his name is Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God is he. Amen? And so here this Good Samaritan, and I when I think about the Good Samaritan, I think about Jesus and when he found me. Because he found me. There were other people who saw my need, but they ignored me. They saw a broken down child who's been in the world, who's been hurt by the world, left for dead. They thought I was just another statistic in the world's eyes. But when Jesus came by that day, that good Samaritan, my unexpected hero, came by my way. He saw how sick and depraved I was, and he did not just pass by me. He didn't ignore me. He didn't say, I'm finished with you. I don't want to see you. You've sinned too much. You've been too horrible. Had you listened to me, you wouldn't have been here. Had you followed me, it would not have happened. But because you're in this place, Jesus didn't do that to me. He saw and recognized my need. He found me. Just like he found you, he found us and he had compassion on us. I don't know about you, but it wasn't good when he found me. It wasn't good when he found me. I definitely was stripped of dignity. I definitely hadn't. The thief had done his job. All the dignity was gone. I definitely had been wounded, beat to a place of not even being recognized. The only one who could recognize me through the blood and the nastiness of my life was Christ. He's the one who took his hand and put it over my face and he pulled the dirt and the muck and the mire away from me and he said, there you are. I'm glad I found you. You see, my life was going down a road and it fell among the thieves. Your life was going down the road and it fell among the thief. And he is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is doing his best to steal, kill, and destroy you. But praise be to Jesus, there's a good Samaritan who walks down the road, the same road we walk, and he found you. Amen. I want you to notice the condition of the man. He could not help himself. He could not fix himself. He was half dead. When you're half dead, brother or sister, there's no getting up on your own. There's no fixing or mending your own situation. You are half dead. You're laying there. You're bleeding out. It's almost over. And you know that you're at the brink of death. I'm telling you, some of you, Jesus came down into your life at the right time and just in time because you were at the brink of death. But he came in anyway. And he reached down into your life and he pulled you out. And he found you. When you couldn't fix it, he fixed it. When you couldn't solve it, he solved it. And what I'm so thankful for, that my good Samaritan, Jesus, he didn't look at my life and say, do A, B, C, D, E, and then I'll teach you the rest of the alphabet. No, he came and he had compassion on my situation. And he did what the priest and the Levite wouldn't do. He bound up my wound. Oh, that's so good. He found the place where I was wounded the most, and he bound it up, and he wound it up, and he said, no, we're going to fix this. I'm going to fix this for you. I'm going to stop the bleeding. He poured in the oil and the wine. The oil that gives me that assurance the Spirit of God is leading me, and that wine that gives me the assurance that I'm going to be refreshed even in my broken situation. Can God still refresh you? Can God still pour in the oil and the wine? Can he still bind the wounded hearts? Can he still pull the people who are on the brink of death and pull them up and say, no, you're not going to die, but you're going to live, and you're going to live in me. You're going to live through me. You're going to conquer through me. Can God still do it? Yes, he can. He's still walking the streets of Kingman finding wounded people. He's still walking the hallways of these colleges finding wounded people. He's still walking the streets of New York finding the wounded people. He is still the Savior today. And the Good Samaritan, he's still looking for people. He had compassion on us. He poured in the oil. He poured in the wine. But I'm so thankful that when he had compassion upon us, he didn't just bind us up and then say, now go about your business. No, he didn't do that. He said, he put us on his own animal. He put us on his animal. Can you go back to the verse? I think it's 33 or 5, one of those. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came and he was at where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So when he went to him, he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal. So Jesus carries us when we can't carry ourselves. When we can't get there, he gets there for us. When we can't overcome, he overcomes for us. The scripture is full of proof of this one truth, that in that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. When I could not come to God, he came to me. When I could not reach him, he reached me. When I was too sick and dead to be able to even function or even take care of myself, he picked me up. He set me upon the rock. He placed me by his side. He protects me. The good Samaritan, my Jesus, poured in the oil, and then he set me there. See, Jesus doesn't leave you how he found you. And you won't leave here like you came. In Jesus' name. Bound, depressed, tormented, sick or lame. For the Holy Ghost of Acts, he's still the same. And you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. I've always said this, I say, you come just as you are, but when you meet Jesus, you'll never leave the way you came. You'll never leave the way you came. He pours in the oil, he pours in the wine. He puts you on his own animal, and he cares for you. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you, he said. Cast it upon him. Jesus, that good Samaritan, he found you and did not leave you the way you came. I can tell you, I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful. Now listen, not only did he not leave us, but he personally paid for your healing. He personally paid for your healing. You were robbed. You had nothing. You had nothing. I need that to be understood. You had nothing. You were broke. You've been taken from. You were empty. And Jesus knew that you could not take care of yourself, so he came with the right provision. He came with the right antidote. He came with the right healing. He came with what you needed. And he came in and he paid the debt for you. The scripture says that by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed, he says. He paid for it. We sing a song, he paid a debt he did not owe, and I owed a debt I could not pay. He's the one who paid for it. You could not do that. There's not enough currency in this world to be able to pay for your sin. They don't even make the right currency. Heaven's currency is a different type of currency. And up in heaven, you got to have a different level to be able to even pay for it. You could not pay for your own healing. But praise be to Jesus. You're sitting here this morning because by his stripes, you are healed. By his stripes, you are healed. He paid it for you. He hung on the cross when you didn't. He died and gave his life when you didn't. He arose from the grave because you couldn't. And he ever lives sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you because you can't. He paid it. And you know, he takes him to an inn. There's something about this innkeeper. Do you know that you're an innkeeper? You're an innkeeper. I was thinking about this, about how the innkeeper just had an inn until Jesus showed up with a broken man. And when Jesus showed up with the broken man, he took the broken man into the inn and he paid for the room. And he paid for the healing. But when the Good Samaritan's leaving, he gives commission to the innkeeper. He says, I'm going to give you some in advance. I'm going to give this to you now so that you can care for him. That sounds like the church, doesn't it? I believe that every single one of our homes, every single one of our lives, we are innkeepers in this parable. You are an innkeeper. God has commissioned you and given you the goods that he has given to you. And he said, I'm going to give you what you need to meet the needs. You were broken. I made you whole. Now you're whole. And now I want you to go and show others how whole they can be made. I want you to do unto them as I have done unto you, Jesus said. And so now you are an innkeeper. Your home now is a house of healing. The healing place is where Jesus shows up. It doesn't matter what home it is. It can be the drug addict's home. When Jesus shows up, it's changed. Heard the testimony of a wonderful man, a preacher back in Missouri in a small little town. He's doing a work most people probably will never ever read about in a book or ever know. But he ministers to the outcast and the broken of his community. Drugs and meth sweep through his community like crazy. And his church is made up of drug addicts that he has won to Christ. It's amazing. I preached at his church not that long ago, and I was so blessed by all these ex-drug addicts worshiping God together. I heard the story of this man one time. He knew of a house, or actually a trailer, that was a meth lab. And he went up to the trailer and he knocked on the door. The drug dealers opened the door. He said, hey, I wanted to buy some pizza for you. Can I come in, buy pizza for you, sit down and talk to you? And the guy said, sure, we'll eat pizza. And so the preacher goes in, sits down in their living room, and for 4 hours he preached the gospel to drug addicts and meth dealers in a cookhouse. And you know what God did to the cookhouse? He shut it down, because the gospel of Jesus Christ goes into broken places and it transforms those homes from a place of death to a place of healing. When God steps into your inn, dear sister, dear brother, your home has transformed. Don't you remember that Rahab the harlot, her brothel was turned into a salvation station. I'm telling you, God will transform your place. He'll transform it because he comes to bring healing. He paid for it. But look at, this is my favorite part of the parable, and I'm going to end with this. My favorite part is this. This Good Samaritan said, I'm giving you this in advance, but I'm coming again. I'm coming again. I'm going to come back. I travel this way frequently. I know this place. I've been here before. It's not my first time. There's going to be another time I come. It sounds like something Jesus would say, doesn't it? He said to say, it sounds like the angels there in Acts chapter 1. Why do you stand here gazing? The Jesus you seen go in the same manner, he's coming back again. That same Jesus is coming back. The Bible said he's going to come back again. We are all watching and waiting for the return of the Lord. We're waiting for the Good Samaritan to split the eastern sky and come down again. We're waiting in anticipation that one day what we know in this world will change, because the Savior of the world is coming back again. And it's our job. Go ahead, praise him. It's our job as innkeepers to keep the inn tidy and let him know what we have done when he comes back to the inn, because he's coming back. He's coming back to a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back. And when he comes back, his intention is to repay in full. Can you go to that last verse, sis? Look at this. Take care of him. Look at this right here at the quote. Take care of him. This is the commission to the innkeeper. Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. You can't outgive the Lord. No matter what you do, you'll find out in the end that the Lord's outgiven you. Your silver and your gold, your love and service too. You can't outgive the Lord no matter what you do. You'll never be able to outgive him. And when he comes back again, he'll repay everything that you've put out. When you've sacrificed and you've given and you've put out, you won't even give a drink of water in the name of the Lord without receiving your reward. God said, I will bless you for honoring him. He always is. He is faithful to his promise. He will fulfill what he said he would fulfill. It's coming a day that the trump of God is going to sound. The last trump will sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to be with our Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We need to comfort one another with these words, that the one who saved us, the one who found us, the one who binded up our wounds, the one who poured in the oil, the one who poured in the wine, he's coming back again, and we're going to see him, not in our broken state, but in our healed state, in the state of glory. We're going to see him in a way we've never seen him before. He's coming back again. And I want you to know that Jesus is the hero that most people never expect. We try to find ways for healing, but only Jesus can heal you the way you need to be healed. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. We need you, Jesus. Thank you that you found us. Thank you for the compassion. Thank you for binding up the wounds and pouring the oil and wine. Thank you. Father, I pray that we will give you praise today because you are that good Samaritan, the hero that nobody expected, the one no one was looking for. But thank you, God, that when I could not see you or be able to even recognize, you came to me. You came to us and you saved us. You healed us. You paid the price for us to be sustained. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and glory for it. Praise and glory for it. Can you sing that song, Open the Eyes of My Heart? Hallelujah. You know, I believe that sometimes if we're going to recognize our hero, we need to have our eyes opened. We need to have them open to the Lord who's watching over us. Open so that he can heal us. While we sing this, I want you to worship the Lord. And I want you to tell him, Lord, open my eyes that I might see you clearly again. That I might see you clearly. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Lifted up.
Oh, yes, Jesus. yourself wounded right now and you need someone to walk with you for a moment, if you need special prayer, I want you to come forward. We're going to sing this song again. If you need special prayer, if you want to find a place in these altars just to pray because you want to spend some time with the Lord, come down and pray. Come spend some time with the Lord. Let God bless you this morning. But if you want special prayer, please come down as we sing this again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Open the eyes.
Open.